And we are reading together in the Word of God. And we are reading in 2 Corinthians 1, and from verses 1 to 11, and then from chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. And in your Pew Bible, you will find that on page 1159. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and reading from verse 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout all Achaia, praise and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And then in chapter 2, and from verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind, because I did not find my brother Titus there. And so I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Amen. May God bless his word to us. You will remember the beginning of our Advent services when Fergus spoke to us of the angel's visit to Mary. And it was a beautiful picture.
all eternity coming down into the womb of Mary. She would give birth to a son who would be a saviour, the saviour of his people, and God would give to him the throne of his father David. This morning we are thinking about the triumph of the Christ child. I'm thinking about his triumph so that we may be encouraged as we go into this next new year. I want you to exercise your imagination. Imagine, if you will, the sun is setting over a field of battle. Broken standards of the enemy cast long shadows over the earth. The moans of the dying drift through the gloom. Dark shadows move among the fallen, picking the pockets of the dead and scattering the birds that feed upon their flesh. And then imagine, the sun is rising over the great city of Rome, and the trumpets are sounding, and the victorious general stands upon a chariot drawn by four horses, dressed in a purple tunic embroidered with golden thread. Above him is the crown of Jupiter held by a servant. And before him, the great doors of Rome open. And he sees ahead of him the great boulevard that will lead to the temple of Jupiter, and at its great entrance, the emperor stands with a golden wreath, the wreath of victory, to lay upon the victor's head. And as the victor makes his way into that city, his slaves carry the trophies of battle before him, and his servants wave great incense burners that send clouds of fragrant incense into that city and filling every street, so that the city smells with the glorious fragrance of his victory. A fragrance that will be life unto life for many, but death unto death for those captives that are dragged from the wheels of his chariot. That is a Roman triumph. And it was awarded only to a few. And Paul takes that word and he uses that picture to speak about the triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he speaks about that triumph, the triumph of Christ over all the powers of evil for our sake, he speaks of Jesus forgiving all of our sins, having cancelled the charge that stood against us by nailing it to the cross, disarming the powers and authorities, and making a triumph over them. In the passage that we read this morning, Jesus is speaking about the triumph of Christ. And as we go into this new year, I want us to think about this passage and so be encouraged. We do not enter this new year fearful for the church or fearful for ourselves, because Jesus Christ
has triumphed. So first of all, be encouraged. That's not easy in this day. When we consider the apparent condition of the church, especially in the West, it appears to be a sad story of continuing decline and defeat. And so we become discouraged. It was lovely to hear at the watch night service of those days when there was standing room only at the back of the church. That day seems to have gone. And as the years roll forward, how many of us will be left in 5 years' time? Or in 10 years? And that's the story throughout our land, and particularly in the Church of Scotland. As the numbers fall and as fewer and fewer come into the ministry and our coffers are emptying, what future for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only here, but throughout our Western world? But Jesus Christ is Christ triumphant. And despite what appears to us in the course of history, that is the truth of what the church is. It is his church. And he has triumphed. That should not come as a surprise to us. Because did Jesus not, in the Great Commission, commission his apostles and through them commission us to live and to minister in the reality of the victory that he had won? All authority in heaven and earth, said Jesus, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Christ has triumphed, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. What does that mean for us? It means encouragement. We go into this new year not discouraged by the apparent decline of the church, but encouraged by the triumphant victory of Christ. It is not our calling to work for the victory of Christ. It is our calling to work out of the victory of Christ. The victory is not for us to win, because he has won the victory. It is for us to be obedient and to serve him with faithfulness. And he will do whatever he wills in his church. So be encouraged, for the victory has already been won. It may be
that in the course of history there will be times when Christ will discipline his church. And the word to the church at Laodicea was a word of warning. He is the Christ who can remove the candlesticks. Where a people do not honour him and follow with faithfulness the teaching of his word, he will remove it. And that also will be his triumph. But he is the Lord of the church. And he has won the victory. He is our triumphant Saviour. So we go into this new year, not as a discouraged people, but as an encouraged people, because our King has won the victory, and out of that we serve and work and honour and praise. So be encouraged, because Christ has triumphed. And secondly, be encouraged because we share in Christ's triumph. Paul says in the passage that we read, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ." Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. Paul's picture is the picture of that Roman triumph, of the victorious general who enters the city triumphant, and his people with him. His faithful followers, those who served him, and those who honour him, and those who share in his victory and in his triumph. And we go confidently into this coming year, because to us is given the astonishing honour of sharing in the triumph of Christ. We are already those who triumph in him. Paul sees Jesus in his triumph, marching down the history of humankind, the triumphant King, and with him sharing in that triumph his servants through all generations. We are in Christ a triumphant people, because we are his people. He sees his servants like those Roman priests who marched through the city of Rome announcing the coming of the triumphant victor, waving censers from which came the clouds, the billowing clouds, the clouds of fragrant victory, the sweet smell of the spices of triumph, filling the city. That's how Paul sees us. As Jesus marches in triumph, we are, says Paul, a sweet savour of victory. The message that we bring the fragrant sweetness of Christ. From us, says Paul, his word goes forth and fills the city with the knowledge of him. The Lord Jesus Christ marches in triumph, for he has won the battle. And he brings his people to triumph with him. Isn't that astonishing? He is our triumphant Savior, but we are his triumphant people, the people who serve him, and the people who shed everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. Our calling in the church is not to win the battle because the battle has been won. Our calling as the church is to announce that victory, to proclaim his triumph, to spread the knowledge of him everywhere. How do we do that? We do that day by day, by living lives that show the beauty of Jesus. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We do that by the graciousness and the kindliness of our living. We do that by being careful how we speak of others and to others. We do that by little acts of kindness and love. We do that in the relationships that we have, building up and not tearing down. We do that by sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not always easy. We do not always find it easy to introduce Jesus into our conversations. But that is our calling. Not just to be nice people, but to spread abroad the knowledge of him. To be the aroma of Christ, the sweet fragrance of his grace, and making him known in our world. So as we go into this new year, be encouraged. Christ has won the battle. And be encouraged because you have the astonishing honour of walking with our Saviour in his triumphal march through history and sharing in his triumph. A triumphant people. And be encouraged because Christ has triumphed and we share in his triumph, but also because he triumphs in us. How did you feel when I suggested that you should be sharing the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ with others? The problem is we feel so inadequate, unprepared, unsure, uncertain, insufficient for the task. How could we possibly do such a thing? It's only going to lead to failure and embarrassment. Well, let me encourage you by telling you that the Apostle Paul felt exactly the same way. He speaks of our calling, and then he says, "But who is sufficient for these things?" When you read through the book of Corinthians, you see Paul in his weakness. You see Paul broken. You see Paul feeling incapable of fulfilling his calling. Even in the passage that we read, it's there. Paul has received news from Corinth that's disturbing and troubling. There's real difficulties within the church. And he's had to write to that church to discipline them. And he's waiting for Titus to bring him the news, to tell him how that letter has been received. Titus is to meet him in Troas. Paul goes to Troas, and God opens a door for him to preach. But Titus isn't there. And Paul says that even though the door was open for him to preach, he could not preach because he could not settle his mind. Oh, what is happening in Corinth? Is this the great apostle? This is the apostle in his weakness. Who is sufficient for these things? But be encouraged, because Jesus triumphs in us. Who is sufficient for these things, says Paul? But Jesus triumphs in us. It's the Lord Jesus who helps us in our weakness. And he always, says Paul, leads us in triumph. When I am weak, says Paul, then I am strong. Because Jesus triumphs in us, our difficulties, our circumstances, our fears, and the things that trouble us, our crisis of confidence, our inability to speak to others about Jesus, Christ then triumphs in us. And he makes it possible for us to do that which we could not in ourselves do. And in the midst of it all, says Paul, he leads us in triumphal procession. We should be encouraged as we enter this new year, because Christ has triumphed. He has won the battle. And we live and minister out of that victory. The victory is already ours. And we have the astonishing privilege of sharing in his triumph. When he, at the end of all days, goes before his Father as the triumphant victor, we will stand beside him in triumph. And we will be given the honor and the praise and the thanks of our Father who is in heaven. This is who you are. This is who you are. The people of Christ, a triumphant victor over all the forces of evil. This is who you are. Those who stand and serve with him. This is who you are. Those who share in the glory of his triumph. I want to finish just with an illustration. You may have heard of Abraham Kuyper. At the turn of the last century, he was one of the most brilliant minds in Europe. He was to become Prime Minister of Holland and serve as Prime Minister for 14 years. He had an astonishing influence for Christ, not only in Holland but throughout Europe, and a tremendous influence in theology for good. As a young man, he was not a believing Christian. He was a formal Christian. He went into the ministry and he was called to a large church in the city of Breed. It's a prosperous church. But it had within its parish an area that was not prosperous. And Kuyper felt he should also visit there, and the authorities in the church said that there was really no need to visit there because they were little people. And they were not well received because they were people who held to the historic faith of the church. They didn't fit. But Kuyper felt he had to go. And that news that he was coming went round that little community, and there was a girl in that little community called Petya. And she said to her friends, "Well, if that man comes to my door, I am not allowing him into my house. I will not have someone who does not believe." And one of the neighbors said to her, "Don't you understand the minister also has a soul to be saved?" And she let him in. And they sat and talked. And she simply shared her faith with Kuyper. And Kuyper's heart was opened. And he received Christ. Isn't that astonishing? A brilliant, brilliant man. This simple, simple woman. 50 years later, when that woman died, this is what Kuyper wrote. "One child of God, however insignificant by the world's standards, can be like the morning star again, bringing radiance into the night of the church's life." And I wonder if at the last day, when the sun presents all his triumphant trophies at the foot of his father, that Kuyper will step forward and he will present his trophies, and they will be many. And that simple woman will step forward and present her trophy. And it will be Abraham Kuyper. God can use you and do wonderful things through you. So be encouraged.